This fourth Sunday of Lent is traditionally known as Laetare Sunday, from the Latin term rejoicing. We're called to rejoice because this penitential season of Lent is more than halfway over. We're rejoicing because Easter is near. And we rejoice because of the truth conveyed in our readings of God's love for us is beyond our wildest imagination. We see this in, you know, all our readings. Some of it's implicit, but it's most especially seen in our gospel, where we get the famous John 3:16, the most well-known verse in the Bible, arguably, and for good reason. It's a beautiful summary of the gospel, the Bible, of all of divine revelation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. You know, when we talk about God's love, I think we need to keep a few things in mind. First, his love for us is particular and personal. It's not just generic, right? It's not like God only loves this large mass of humanity. He knows you and loves you as an individual. It's accurate to put the singular in John 3:16. God so loved you that he gave his son that you might not perish but have eternal life. God's love for us is tremendous. We also don't quite appreciate how extensive his love and care is for us. And there's a theological concept behind this called divine providence, which is God's all-wise plan for the universe, which refers to the fact that nothing escapes the will of God. Anything that happens, either God's directly willed it, or he's permitted or allowed it to happen. He doesn't will evil. So evil that happens, he's permitted or allowed, because in his power, he alone can bring good out of evil, life out of death. We see his providence in our first reading. Israel is sent into exile because of their infidelities. God permits Babylon to conquer Jerusalem and take away many Israel citizens into exile, to be slaves in Babylon. Likewise, after an appointed time, God inspires a pagan king, Cyrus, the king of Persia, who conquered Babylon, to free his chosen people and bring them back to the chosen land. So God's love for us, it covers everything. Anything that happens in our life, his providence covers. And he works all things for the good for those who love him. So we must entrust ourselves to him. That's the best response to his tremendous love for us, to his providential care for us, is to entrust our lives to him. Probably the greatest example of this, the most heroic example of this that I've come across, is a priest that I've long admired and hope one day to see canonized, Father Walter Chizik. He was an American priest born 1904 in Pennsylvania. He was ordained in the late 30s. And not long after he was ordained, when World War II began, he was sent into the Soviet Union to clandestinely minister as a Catholic priest there. Soviet Union was this communist nation. It was officially an atheistic nation. Technically, by the letter of the law, religion was tolerated. But in practice, especially under Joseph Stalin, who was running the country at the time, it was not, unless Joseph Stalin thoroughly controlled the organization. So Father Chizik, he goes and he's trying to clandestinely minister to people. Nobody wants to talk to him about religion because they're afraid that they're going to be arrested too. In fact, Chizik doesn't last very long. He's arrested. He faces these trumped up charges of being some Vatican spy, and they bring him to a prison, Lubyanka prison in Moscow, where they stick him in solitary confinement for 5 years. And his only break from this solitary confinement is when he's drug out to be interrogated. You know, and these charges of being a Vatican spy were so ridiculous. At first, you know, he figured he could convince these interrogators of how ridiculous they were. But after years of psychological torture, a little bit of physical torture, one day he broke. And he signed a false confession that he was, in fact, a Vatican spy. Ludicrous, though that confession was. And this event shattered him. He went back to his cell, and he was burning with shame and guilt. He was angry at himself. He tried to pray, but his prayer was mostly him just interiorly rebuking himself for his cowardice and his fear and his failure. He didn't spare God from this. Why hadn't God come to his help? Why didn't God inspire him with courage to stay strong? But then in the midst of this very dark moment, he was given a great grace. He was able to see that this failure, this moment of failure, was teaching him an important lesson. He had been relying on himself, on his power, on his will entirely. He might have given lip service to trusting in God, but it was his own abilities that he was relying on, and he needed to rely on God. And here's what he said about this event later on. He said, it was not the church that was on trial in Lubyanka. It was not the Soviet government versus Walter Chizik. It was God versus Walter Chizik. God was testing me by this experience like gold tested in the furnace. And I had learned, to the depths of my shaken soul, how totally dependent I was on him for everything, even in my survival, and how foolish had been my reliance upon self. Then he said this, for just as surely as a man begins to trust in his own abilities, so surely has he taken the first step on the road to ultimate failure. And the greatest grace God can give such a man is to send him a trial he cannot bear with his own powers, and then sustain him with his grace, so he may endure to the end and be saved. And this was a pivotal moment for Father Chizik. He abandoned himself and entrusted himself completely to God and to God's providential care. Let me give one brief practical example of how this entrustment to divine providence impacted Father Chizik. He would, after signing this confession, be imprisoned, sentenced to 15 years in a Siberian gulag, 15 years of hard labor. And he would spend a few more after that with his movements restricted and kind of closely kept tabs on by the forerunner of the KGB. But when he arrives in Siberia, the work is grueling and primitive. These are 15-hour days in north of the Arctic Circle. And it's very primitive work. I mean, they're digging foundations with shovels and picks or shoveling coal until their arms are numb. This was incredibly hard work. The food was barely enough to survive and work. The conditions they slept in, his bed was a few wood boards stuck together. It was something that I think any of us would call hell on earth. But here's what he later wrote about that. He later wrote how he endured that. He said, because I saw this work is the will of God for me. And so he worked every day hard to the limits of his strength and his health, given the circumstances. He built a new city in Siberia, not because Joseph Stalin wanted it, but because he was convinced God wanted it. The labor he did was not punishment. It was a way of working out his salvation with fear and trembling. He would time and again rely on God's providence to lead him through this ordeal in Russia until he was brought home 23 years later after he was imprisoned. Father Chizik's story is heroic and extraordinary, but the hard lesson he learned, it applies to us all as well. If we trust in our own abilities alone, we might do really well for a while. But eventually, we will come to a point where we need to put our trust in God. God whose providence covers all things. God who loves us more than we can imagine. We ought to begin each day by saying, Jesus, I trust in you. Lead me. Help me to do your will. If we trust in him, we can endure anything. We can do anything. On this Laetare Sunday, let us rejoice because Easter is near. Rejoice because God loves us so tremendously, us as individuals, and his providential care covers all things. And let us respond by entrusting our lives to him and allowing him to lead us to heaven.